Welcome back, guys. DGS 306. We have everybody, Matt Pauly here from the sports department. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Yeah. Tell everyone about your life. I mean, it's exciting.
Yeah. So my wife and I on June 6th welcome Annalie Grace Pauly to this world, our second daughter, our second child, and it has been a wild ride. Really, it was a wild ride going into it. Just a quick story on it. We went in on the 5th, and my wife was having contractions that were 5 minutes apart, and nothing else was happening. And that evening at like 9, 10 o'clock, contractions are like 3.5 to 4 minutes apart when she's walking, still about 5 minutes when she's not moving. They send us home.
Oh, wow.
At 5 minutes apart. And that's when you're supposed to come in. So I looked at the nurse. I'm like, well, how do I know when to bring her back in? Because the rule is come in at 5 minutes. I'm like, well, when she can't talk through a contraction. Like, she can't talk through a contraction now. Like, all the things that they said. So we went home, and we sat at home for like 2 hours, and my wife was in just ridiculous pain during the contractions. So I'm like, F this, and we went back, and they let us stay that time. And then everything was great. We had a wonderful, wonderful folks took care of us our second time in. But yeah, so that's how it all started, and it has been a roller coaster since.
So I saw you at Greg Damon's place when we were both getting our car fixed.
Yep.
And you said you have like an app that tells you when you've been up.
Yeah.
And you said you'd been up for 24 hours.
Yeah, there was a couple times. So I have an Apple Watch, so I have like the fitness app, and it shows you your standing hours. And there've been a couple times in the last couple weeks where I had all 24 hours of the day standing up for at least a minute during each hour.
Boo.
Well, Matt's here to talk some sports. Wheels, take it away.
Well, obviously, where do you want to start, man? I mean, we can start with the city news. We can start with the Cards. But since it's a Cards off day, let's just start with Bradley Carnell. Because, honestly, and Dave, you might enjoy this part, because you and I, we're similar when it comes to City. We want them to do well, but it's not a daily thing. It's not, you know, a regular thing. This is going to be their welcome to the big leagues moment. Because it's been all sunshine and rose petals since the start of last year. Since, you know, the stadium broke ground and the team was awarded and you had a great first year. Well, now it's finally getting hard, so welcome to the big leagues and welcome to what will be criticism for the first time, because at this point, you have shown us one of two things. You have shown us that you made a grand mistake 5 months ago when you extended Bradley Carnell after last year, or you've shown us a grand mistake that you don't have the patience to get through the hard times, and you're blaming a coach for having the lowest payroll in MLS. And this is sports. The Cardinals take heat. The Blues take heat, so welcome to the big league, City, because you're about to take some.
Yeah, I don't like it. I don't like it at all. I think it's incredibly short-sighted by them. Now, I am somebody that tends to be unless there's an obvious reason to fire somebody, more often than not, you're better sticking with somebody. I'm not saying people never deserve to be fired in sports. Clearly, they do, but I lean more towards the side of being loyal. You look at what this team did last year, which was remarkable. You look at the fact that, as Kevin alluded to, their payroll is very, very low. These players that they're talking about bringing in during the transfer window, none of these guys have even arrived yet. So they're trying to improve the team via the transfer window, but Bradley hasn't gotten the opportunity to coach any of those guys. Now, look, maybe there's stuff going on behind closed doors that we're not privy to, and this was an absolutely justified firing. And if that's the case, then I guess I apologize for my criticism of the team, but they don't tell us that. So all we can do is go off the information that we know. And we've got a guy who led this team to heights that no expansion team has ever seen in the history of this league last year. And then you don't give him a roster that compares with the rest of the roster in the MLS from a financial standpoint, and you fire the guy, and you admit that if they would have won on Saturday, he would still have a job. So
that's pretty bad.
Yeah, like Lute said that I was listening to the press conference today. Somebody asked specifically if City wins on Saturday, is Bradley here today? And Lute said, yeah, that if they would have won on Saturday, he still would have a job. So
yeah, I mean, that is a direct quote.
Yeah.
He said, yes, Bradley Carnell would still be our head coach.
Mm.
And which is, again,
you were playing with your backup goaltender on Saturday.
Yep.
Berkey wasn't in there. And I think there were 7 total goals that have been scored on the season with the players who were available for that, because they have dealt with injuries. And that's going to be the tipping point. Oh,
yeah.
I just, this feels like, to me, people who, I just think they jumped the gun. Yeah. I just think they jumped the gun. They haven't been doing this very long. It's an expansion franchise. And maybe the worst thing, people said this about Vegas when they came in as an NHL team, that the worst thing that could ever happen to the Golden Knights was how much success they had in their expansion year because they were never going to match it. Maybe we should be having that conversation.
Yeah, they did match it, though. Yeah, and they went and won a Stanley Cup. But like, this doesn't mean that the team is incompetent. It doesn't mean that it's not going to get better or that it's not going to get better or that the new coach won't do a better job. None of those things are precluded by what we're talking about. It's just, it's a mistake one way or the other. You either screwed up when you gave him the extension and overvalued what happened last year, or you're making too rash a move now based on the fact that you're struggling for the first time in franchise history when expansion franchises are supposed to struggle. They do. They always do. And, you know, it's a hard sell to me. And I'm generally with Matt, too. I'm not a big blame the manager, blame the coach, blame the head coach, whatever kind of guy, because it's a lot of it is about talent. But when you have the lowest payroll in the league, it's really disingenuous to blame the coach when your team's not performing because they're not getting beat badly. They've got 10 draws. That's 10 games that could have gone in either direction with just one play. And you're that much closer to losing those games than winning them, right? It's 50-50. But if three or four of them go differently based on Lutz Pfannenstiel's own statements, they probably aren't firing the coach, which is really odd.
Yeah.
So welcome to the big leagues, guys. This is what happens in professional sports. Your franchise is going to get criticism when things aren't going well and when you make moves that make people ask questions.
What was the coach's pedigree like? Did we take a flyer on him in the first place, or is he a well-established guy?
He'd been around for a while. He was the interim head coach with the New York City Red Bulls. Mm-hmm. He came in on interim role. They got to a playoff spot under his leadership when he was there as an interim, and then they replaced him going into the playoffs mm-hmm. with another guy that they hired to be their full-time coach. So he led the Red Bulls to the playoffs and didn't even get to coach them in the playoffs. So he's gotten the short end of the stick a couple times in his career now.
Yeah, and look, it's fair, as Matt pointed out, it's fair to say we don't know the behind the scenes. And maybe there was difficulty that was making this all come to a head at this point that we're not aware of, but again, it doesn't change everything else that we just said.
So we're almost to the All-Star break. How are we feeling?
Well, you're at the halfway point, and you're playing 84-win baseball, which, by the way, is a lot better considering where you were 6 weeks ago.
Yeah, I mean, they're not going to keep up the pace that they've been on since May 12th or whatever, Mother's Day, whatever it was.
No, it's like a 106-win pace or something like that.
So they're not going to keep up that pace. But what that did, having a month like that, it allowed them to fix the hole that they put themselves in. And now if they can just kind of be the team that we expected them to be, that should be good enough for them to at least contend for the division. I think the Brewers at some point will fall back at least a little bit and at the very least continue to sit in a playoff spot.
What are high points and low points still?
Well, I mean, to me, the biggest concerns are that your two highest paid players, your two, you know, one's definitely a Hall of Famer. The other one's on a borderline, making a borderline case with Arenado and Goldie. That's the biggest worry, is that they still haven't done anything offensively. And if they don't continue, it's going to be hard to overcome. Not impossible, because they've overcome it for the last month. Those guys aren't hitting, and they're getting great production from Brendan Donovan, from Alec Burleson. You're going to get Newt Bar back soon. But, you know, as you asked earlier, Dave, I don't know, you asked if he's fragile. I don't know, but, you know, you can't count on him being out there for the rest of the year based on his track record. But he's still an upgrade when he gets back, and you're going to hope that Tommy Edman is not too far behind him. And then after that, you're going to have to address what I think eventually is going to be the question, is the trade deadline. I mean, you're a month away from the trade deadline. It's the 30th of July, so within the next 2 weeks, you kind of have to make a call. And you got to start being in the market, and it's going to be a tough market because there aren't many sellers.
I think they're going to buy, though. And
oh, yeah, they're not going to sell.
Yeah, they're going to buy. The one thing that concerns me when it comes to that is they're essentially looking to find a starting pitcher because of Steven Matz being out. I don't want them to go replace Steven Matz, because then you're bringing in a guy who slots in as your fourth or fifth starter. They got to go get somebody who's better than everybody in the rotation except for Sonny Gray. They need another...
Well, they need a playoff starter.
Yeah. Yeah, right. If the playoffs were to start today, Kyle Gibson would probably be your game two starter. Yeah. That's who I would throw in game two.
Yeah, and Michaelis would be your three.
Yeah. Or, I mean, you can make the... Lynn versus Michaelis would be an interesting debate.
Yeah.
So they just need a little bit better than that.
Grisafalo? Is that how you say his
Grisafo?
Name?
Grisafo. Yeah.
Wow.
How about that for a debut, huh? Yeah. And then you get to go right back down.
Yeah.
Well, no, it's because you're not going to get used for days. I mean, they brought him up for that purpose, to eat innings. But he was impressive, and I would definitely like to see more of him and maybe see a little bit of Kloppenstein, too.
And what that does is, so they had to make a 40-man roster move to get him onto the roster. So every time there's been a spot in the rotation available, one of the walls in front of it is, well, he's not on the 40-man roster. Now he's on the 40-man roster. Now he's pitched in a big league game and looked good. So now every time that they need a starter from here on out, Graceffo should be in the conversation, which I don't think he was in the conversation before that.
Or Kloppenstein, really. Yeah. They both were. I know it's only one inning for Kloppenstein, but to be thrown into the eighth inning of a close game,
I like
when
him
you've
as a
never relieved before, it's an interesting... It's interesting debut.
I like Kloppenstein as a reliever so much more because he doesn't have a ton of pitches. And his first start back at Memphis after getting back down wasn't very good. He pitches himself into a lot of trouble as a starter. I would, in my very amateur assessment of everything, I would much rather see him as a reliever.
I think I'd agree with that. He throws a little harder, too, because as a starter, he's low 90s. If he relieves, he's probably going to gain a couple because then you can go max effort.
How are the big guys doing, Goldstein, Goldschmidt, and Arenado?
Same as ever. It's not really changed much.
Haven't broken out?
No. I mean, if you look at like quality of contact and things along those lines, like it's not that they've been having bad luck. Like Nolan Arenado is legit struggling, and his numbers, believe it or not, are actually a little bit better than they should be based on the quality of contact. Goldie's on the other side of it. Goldie still hits the ball hard, man. He's like in the top 15% and as far as like hard hit rate, like hitting the ball hard. But he's got a career-high strikeout rate and a career-low walk rate. So he's swinging and missing at more good hittable pitches, and that's why he's underperforming.
Are we only in the market for pitchers?
It seems like it, but maybe they shouldn't be. I don't know. Some of it's going to be dependent upon health, right? I mean, if Nootbaar gets back and can stay in the lineup, and if Tommy Edman can get back, you're probably not looking at adding a bat. Because you can also think about Jordan Walker as a guy that could potentially return to. And I haven't checked since the weekend, but as of last week, he had trended up a little bit.
Hit a home run a few days ago. I don't know what day it was. And it looked like when...
Oh, no, it was like a 460-foot home run.
That's the thing with Walker. It's not just about hitting home runs. It's looking at it and looking to see if he's driving the ball and if he's elevating it. And once he starts doing that consistently, then you start having the conversation of when he returns.
Thank you, Matt. Dave Murray on the other side of this break. Sweet 16 coming up at 4 p.m. Wheels, what's your question about neighborhood fireworks?
Just where are you guys at when it comes to people firing off their own fireworks? I mean, a lot of states it's illegal to do. It is legal where I live, and I don't want to get rid of them. I'm fine with people doing it. My questions, though, are like just more practical. Like, should you have to have a license to set off fireworks or no? Like, should you have to get some kind of certification to do it? I think it's probably a bit much. I do think there should be some limitations, though, as to when you can do it. Like, we don't need 8 days of fireworks around the 4th of July. You know, a couple days before and after, maybe the weekend after or something like that. Because there are just times where I'm like, okay, guys, we get it. Things go boom. We can relax, can't we? Like, that and maybe an hour of the night where it should stop. I'm up till like 1:30 or 2. This does not impact me. This is not a Wheeler, selfish old dude thing. But I mean, we got neighbors that have little kids. It makes the dogs freak out. Like, maybe there's a time at night where you say nothing after this time.
So for years, we had a neighbor that owned like fireworks.com.
Oh.
And would get us, and I'm not exaggerating here, a fireworks display the size of a medium-sized town.
Ooh.
Thousands and thousands of dollars. Everyone would put in $100 and we had 200 houses. And they were amazing and enjoyable. And I always felt like we were breaking the law.
Oh,
I just always felt like I can't believe that we can do this.
Yeah, I mean, there have been times a friend that I worked with at another place had a big fireworks thing where we all did that. We chipped in money and did it a little bit in the evening and a bit after it got dark, but not till like 11, 12 o'clock at night. I don't have a problem with people doing it in general, but there just seems like there's too wide a range
now,
of like...
This is going to make me sound really elitist, and maybe I am when it comes to this. I hate the small-time fireworks. I hate just
the noisemakers?
Just the noisemakers.
That I don't understand. I don't understand the point of just like setting off something that just goes...
Because it's fun. I mean, I'll jump in. I think those are like the most fun fireworks. You can
like
get the
firecrackers.
Yeah, I mean, they're accessible to everyone. You don't have to have like a huge display. You can just have the loud ones. And I don't think people are like wrong for wanting to mess with those on 4th of July.
Yeah, I don't want it necessarily to be wiped off the face of the earth. I would like there to be some guidelines, though, right? Like something that says something that says, all right, listen. There's a window, we can do this, but we don't need to do this all night long because you feel like it or because you're drunk and you want to do it.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like polite people stop by midnight on 4th of July, and then the nights afterwards, it's like, you know, 10 o'clock is a good cutoff. But there are always just going to be jerks who are like, oh, it's 2 a.m., this is the perfect time to set off my noise-making fireworks.
You guys ever get bored in the middle?
Of what?
Big fireworks.
You mean like the big ones? Like if you go to down, I can't do them.
Get tired of looking up.
I like the neighborhood ones better than I like going to a fireworks show because getting out of there sucks.
Yeah, I'm kind of thinking of that the whole time I'm watching a fireworks display.
Mosquitoes.
Like, I have to drive out of here later.
Yeah. We're a fun bunch.
Oh yeah.
Happy 4th of July.
If your day sounds like
we need the report ASAP,
you deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through. You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Welcome back, DGS 334. So Dave is not with us today live because he is teaching his grandchild to swim. God, the priorities in this guy.
I know. I told him it was unacceptable, but, you know.
You think he's like a superstar who's semi-retired or something, the way he treats the show. He did give us a couple minutes of a live look, so here you go.
My, oh my, what another great day as we kick off the month of July. Near perfect this afternoon, and it's near perfect for evening plans. Clear skies, temperatures will quickly drop into the 70s, and how about 59 again for the overnight low? On Tuesday, sunny skies dominate. The morning is going to be just fine, but the southerly flow starts to return Tuesday afternoon. So we have to call it hot again, 94 on Tuesday, but I think the humidity is going to lag a bit, so just moderate humidity during Tuesday afternoon. Tuesday night, though, it's back, quite humid. And then a front starts to sink in from the north in the northwest flow. This is a little different front because it doesn't have much power, not a lot of push to it. So it's going to work its way into the St. Louis area and then stall out. And that's a problem for Wednesday and Thursday. Though I expect partly sunny skies, there's going to be scattered showers and thunderstorms around both Wednesday and Thursday, including Wednesday night and Thursday night for the 4th. 94 degrees for the high on Wednesday and about 88 on Thursday. Tropics are kicking up. We have a hurricane in the Caribbean Sea. Right now, it looks like it's more of a watcher for Jamaica and the Yucatan of Mexico. But we have to watch this thing carefully to see if it's going to try to squirt its way into the Gulf of Mexico, but that is a long way off. There you go. Enjoy the weather this evening and into the morning on Tuesday. Talk to you tomorrow.
Didn't even do a second take when he said grinjoy yourself.
What are we doing here? We definitely have to greet him with that when he comes back on.
Daylight grinjoyed your life.
Did you grinjoy the swimming lessons?
This weather brings me such grinjoyment.
Grinjoy.
It's fine.
Grinjoy.
I can't believe sometimes I'll think about this kid from South Rock Santa met Dave Murray, much less he has been my arch enemy foil now for going on 25 years.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Remember when I hung up on him 3 times?
Yeah. It's been a grinjoyable ride.
Did you say, did he grinjoy that?
He did not grinjoy that. At all. Headlines?
Brought to you by Schnucks. Reward yourself daily with the Schnucks Rewards app. So more and more Americans are ditching their home insurance due to rising costs for coverage. This is according to a recent study from the Insurance Information Institute. 12% of Americans no longer have home insurance. That's the highest level of uninsured homeowners the research group has ever seen.
That's bad. Serious risk, man. I mean, I know things are expensive out there, but it's way worse if something happens.
I get what you're saying, but these higher premiums are hurting households who are already struggling to pay for other necessities.
And you don't have, it used to, like when I was Rachel's age, if you couldn't afford a house, you rented because it was so much more affordable. It's not so much like that anymore.
No, it's not more affordable.
It's really not.
At least in terms of a month.
It's a giant bummer, if I'm going
to
be real.
At least in terms of a monthly payment. It's more affordable because you don't have to go through the financing and do all that stuff. Yeah.
All right. Boeing is making a $4.7 billion move it says will improve the quality and safety of its airplanes. They will acquire Spirit AeroSystems. This is a Wichita-based manufacturer that was spun off of Boeing nearly 20 years ago and works on Boeing's planes, such as the 737 and the 787. Spirit CEO Patrick Shanahan says the move will allow greater integration of both companies' manufacturing and engineering capabilities.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Spirit as in Spirit Airlines?
No, this is not the same as Spirit Airlines. This is Spirit
AeroSystems.
You guys should have seen the look on Dave's face. Dave was like, oh.
Like, this doesn't sound good.
The only way to make Boeing worse is to acquire Spirit Airlines, where they let jack-o'-lanterns fly the planes.
All right, we might have talked about this on the break and not on the actual show. I apologize if we touched on this already, but Joe Biden's family is urging him to stay in the race. President Biden and his family were at Camp David over the weekend. His wife, Jill, and son, Hunter, were among the most vocal in telling Biden he shouldn't bow out while he's down. Family members blamed Biden's poor debate performance on his staff and says he's capable of doing the job for another 4 years.
Gaslight, gaslight, gaslight. We all saw it for ourselves with our own eyes, using our own brains for 90 minutes. Talked about it earlier in the show. When your excuse is it was only 90 minutes, I will turn that on its head and say it was a full 90 minutes of absolute compromise from old age. I like Joe Biden. I don't blame him for what he's going through. It's not his fault. He's doing the best he can. He's going to be up and down. He's going to, I mean, like I said, the very next day he had a tan, a top lip, and he was screaming again. But this only really goes one way. It's concentric circles. Of course, he may have a good performance. He may have a good day, may have a good week, may have a good month. But it's only going one way. And if you think after what we saw last Thursday night that this man can do this for another 5 or 6 years, you're absolutely wrong.
Yeah. Also, maybe don't listen to Hunter.
Yeah, who's
like,
taking
Hunter's
opinions
seriously? Maybe don't include him in these big family meetings. Like, I mean, I get it. Again, you've said it a million times, Dave, and said it very well. He's your son. You love your son. That's great. Your son is in a lot of trouble. He's causing a lot of problems, and he's causing you a lot of problems. He should not be in on these conversations.
Hey, Dad, felonious crackhead here. Here's what I think. Have a seat. I'll tell you how to run things.
That's his stage name, felonious crackhead.
Now, I keep seeing the story, and it's really the words like, his family is urging him to stay running is like just leaving a really bad taste in
me
my
too.
Mouth.
I agree.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
It's like
it's
that,
very selfish.
That almost implies that he's like
maybe
entertaining the thought like,
maybe
the best thing for me to do. And they're going like, no, they're crazy. Don't listen to them.
Way too much about legacy and things like that. And fortunately, being a local radio show host, I have a pretty low ceiling on my legacy, right? But I think about it and what I want the kids to remember about my career and things like this. This guy has a choice right now. He was a huge hero to a great part of the nation and a great part of the world when he defeated Donald Trump. If he were to step aside now, he would be an even bigger hero. And if he steps aside and everyone's happy and Gavin Newsom takes over and he gets his ass kicked, it's not Joe Biden's fault. No one's going to blame him for that. You can't have it both ways. But if he does stay in and he does lose, which he absolutely will, he will be a villain. And he'll be a villain to me. Not as big a villain as Jill Biden, but he'll be a villain.
One more thing to tag onto it here. They can't have it both ways. It was either only 90 minutes or it was 90 minutes. Because on Friday, he was tweeting like, guess who debated an alley cat for 90 minutes? Like making it sound like, I don't know what you did last night, but I spent 90 whole minutes debating this man.
Yeah.
I mean, which one is it? Anyway, moving on. New polls show voters want Biden to step down, but they are unsure of who should replace him. A new Morning Consult poll showed that 60% of respondents, both Republicans and Democrats, think that Biden should step down.
Yeah, I don't know a lot of Republicans who do because they've got their guy.
Yeah, say so leave him in there.
Yeah, leave him in.
A judge on Friday rejected Alec Baldwin's latest attempt to dismiss his involuntary manslaughter case and will allow the actor's trial over the fatal shooting of a Rust cinematographer to proceed. Prosecutors say that the firearm that killed Helena Hutchins on the Rust movie set in 2021 was damaged during forensic testing at an FBI lab. But prosecutors say, although the gun was unfortunately damaged, that damage does not deprive Baldwin of a fair trial.
Yeah, having just been at the FBI in Quantico where they looked at this gun, I mean, I wasn't there when they were looking at that gun, but it's pretty buttoned up. I'm going to go with the Federal Bureau of Investigation over Alec Baldwin.
Mm-hmm. Agree.
You guys see the 16-year-old kid, Quincy Wilson, just became the Olympics' youngest American male track star ever.
Yeah.
How great is that?
Unbelievable.
Really cool.
How crazy is it to be one of the fastest humans on Earth at 16?
Yeah, you expect it from gymnastics or skating. You don't expect it from a sport like track and field where you don't mature until much later. That's
usually
incredible.
Yeah.
The Redbox's parent company has filed for bankruptcy. They are owned by Chicken Soup for the Soul Entertainment, and that's not in great shape. They're in nearly $1 billion of debt, and they owe money to almost everyone in Hollywood. So I could see soon these Redbox.
I can't believe they're still out there.
I know.
Every time I see one, I'm like, wow, that's still going on. Good for them.
It's still a thing, huh?
Okay, AAA is expecting a record number of travelers over the 4th of July holiday weekend. They just want to remind people the best time to hit the road is before 10 a.m., while the heaviest traffic is expected between 2 and 7 p.m. So just something to keep in mind, folks.
You know, I didn't even think about that. We are driving to Colorado later this week, and it's going to be right after the 4th of July. I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah.
Crap.
I think you're going to be okay,
tips
though.
From AAA.
I'll still enjoy it.
Yeah. It's a lot to enjoy there.
And my final story here, it's not really a story, it's more of a fact. Today is American Zoo Day. And the website I saw this in said, does your town have a great zoo? Yeah, our town has the best zoo. The St. Louis Zoo is an absolute gem, and we are very lucky to have it. And
you know
it's
what
free.
Else it is? It's halfway day.
Halfway day.
Halfway through the year.
Oh! Kinda I also saw on the Twitter that this would be Indiana Jones' fake 125th birthday.
Wow, there's lots going on today.
Today's a big day.
Huge day.
So, speaking of Joe Biden, Andrew, Biden is selling dark Brandon water, the secret to a good debate performance, for $5.
Yeah, this went live right after the debate was over. I guess maybe in their mind, they thought it would go a little bit differently. Because he was... They showed him drinking like a can of it like right after the debate.
Maybe
they filmed it right. I'm guessing they must have filmed it right before. So I guess they thought that it would go a lot differently and he would give a super great debate performance and totally knock it out of the park. And then they could sell these on the campaign website. But it's a can of water that says Dark Brandon juice or something on it. And it's got the stupid
MAGA tears.
Yeah, it's got the stupid Joe Biden with the glowing red eyes thing that they're trying so hard to push. And then it's so funny to see that right after he, like, you know, like you said, he's got no lip and he's just like.
I really hope, in all seriousness now, that we learn from this and it's a cautionary tale on the right and the left. And we never have an election like this in my lifetime.
Please.
I would totally agree that there's no way that it could happen again, except that this is actually the second time that this has happened already.
Yeah. That's such a good point. That is such a good point.
This is actually not even the first time this has happened. This is the second time this happened. So, and in 2020, we were like, boy, he sure is old.
On the show sheet, when you say that you will be the dungeon master, is it a threat?
To certain people, it is.
He's been telling me all about this crap in the office.
Yeah, I'm gonna be a DM. I'm gonna be running my Dungeons and Dragons game. I've never done it before.
What does it take to do that? You just do it?
Well, you gotta kind of be in control of everything. You have to guide the players where you want them to go. You gotta remember all the stats and all the you know, the story that you're trying to tell, because you're the storyteller, right? You're telling them the story that they are interacting with. It's
do
a collaborative
people get
story
mad thing. At Dungeon Masters when they don't do a good job?
Yeah. Yeah, very much
you
so.
You ready for the smoke?
I think I can handle one. I mean, 25% of my players is my wife, and she doesn't know what she's doing at all. So I think I got at least her on my side.
Wasn't great.
She doesn't. She's never played before.
A fourth of my constituents are this idiot named Megan.
No, I just mean she won't get mad for me for not doing a good job because she doesn't know what a good job is. The other three are like professionals.
Am I the only one who's troubled when you're like, well, what do you do as a dungeon master, Andrew? And he's like, you control everyone. You're in control.
No, it's like my wife who knows nothing.
No, it's a collaborative storytelling process. So you are the conduit. I am the world. I am the description of the world.
I don't like the way you're saying that.
What do you want me to say?
I am the world.
I am telling them what's going on around them, and they are reacting
no,
to
no,
it.
No, no, no.
They
are asking the questions. You're the world.
I'm the world. What can I say?
He is the world.
I'm the world. I'm every character except them and all the monsters and the world.
Just, he's the house.
You don't want to end up on Megan's level. So just... She's going to be some sort of horny toad in a dungeon somewhere. And
she's a druid.
Okay.
Okay.